Welcome to Cool Explorations. I am your host, Tony Peters. Today we're going to be speaking with Soslin Timanson about escaping communism. And he's going to tell us what it was like, that whole experience of coming to Christ, despite being in communist areas, and what his time was like growing up in an orphanage, and then having to be moved, and then moved again, and how God was with him and worked with him throughout those entire things. And even when he came down with this illness that he's got right now that we'll talk about, God has still been working on him, making him stronger spiritually because of these challenges. And a verse that he holds dear is Proverbs 17:22, where it says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." And so we're going to talk to him about that. I hope that you've enjoyed the previous two parts to this three-part conversation, and that you enjoyed the conclusion of this spicy conversation that we've been having. That's not to say that we don't stand firm in our doctrine, because there's doctrine we need to stand firm on. And church has become too wishy-washy on a lot of that doctrine, and letting a lot of stuff in that should not be in a church setting at all.
Like, for instance, the big one that's going on in America is the teaching or drag shows. I'm just gonna call it the way it is.
That was big this weekend, even. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is the degrading of the church, you know. And the only way now for, and you can get special grants, you can get special grants for churches, and you can get special grants for, you know, the ability to have, you know, to do a drag show and stuff, you can get grants for. Well, the sad part to the whole thing is that, why are we doing this kind of a thing? You know, why are we allowing people to come in, Satan pretty much, you know, because they're lost people, and it is Satan attacking the church. And why are we allowing them to infiltrate the church, the place that's supposed to be holy, and they're degrading it? But it's in the end times, so at the same time, you know, we have to look in that. And it's really sad to see. And that whole mixed messaging of stating that, well, God does love everyone, so God loves me as a rhino, or he loves me as an igloo, or he loves me as a possum, you know? I mean, what do you expect? You know, God created two genders, male and female. He created a pure person, and there's only two genders. And he created them because it was in his image.
And for YouTube's sake, that is actually backed in science. There's two DNA strands that you can have, that there's not a non-binary DNA strand. There's a male DNA strand and a female DNA strand.
Yes, and I just want to tell you, for also YouTube's sake, and for anyone that's listening, it was interesting, because I don't know if you pay attention to the our politics in America, but I was watching a Capitol Hill hearing, and they're talking about whether men can get pregnant biologically. Well, for the first time ever, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know how stupid our science has really become. But now scientists now say that men can get pregnant. I'm like, well, how does that happen? I mean, that's my question. I mean, I just wonder. I'm like, last time I checked, all through the Bible, it's been a man, like, man does impregnate the girl. And, you know, I understand that if you're married, you are one, and you're supposed to take care of each other during that trimester. I understand that whole thing. But, I mean, that's just a depravity of man, and that is sin. Twisting things around, and that's where we need to really rely on God for, you know, strength each and every day.
Yeah, and we need to be founded in that. And you had to have that strength with a lot of the illnesses, as you talked about before. And just looking back throughout your life, throughout your journey, how have you seen God kind of at work throughout this entire process leading you up to where you are right now?
Oh, boy.
I know it's a big question.
It is. You know, I see God working in my life because I should have been dead. The doctor said whatever I had should have killed me. And it should have been the end all for my life. And I just look at him and I'm like, man, how cool is it that God has given me another opportunity, you know, to share the word and be able to witness to other people. And the funny part is that I wanted to partake. I wanted to become a chaplain in the military. And I looked at it and I'm like, the reason why I want to become a chaplain in the military is so I can impact people's lives. But then I looked at it and think God told me, he's like, well, you don't have to become a chaplain. You don't have to become a pastor or anything to impact somebody's life. And that was very well evident in the hospital. And now I'm like, oh, okay, that now I get that light bulb went on. And I'm thinking, man, God does love me after all. You know, because anyway, after a wicked person, after a person that, you know, is into sin, and after we are truly into sin, you know, he's given me another opportunity. And that famous verse that I live by is Luke chapter 6, verse 36, be merciful just as your father is merciful. You know, he gives us mercy when we mess up. He tells us, okay, you know what? I know you messed up, but because I love you, I'm going to give you another opportunity. But don't make that kind of same mistake. And if you do, just ask for repentance. Well, try to avoid making the same mistake. You know, and when you do make that mistake, there's a sense of conviction that happens that flows over us. You know, and I've never sensed that conviction until going through this whole illness thing. You know, I never knew what it really meant to actually follow Jesus and thinking that, you know, how sin will throw everything at you, you know, for a young individual, you know, try to distort that marriage, the concept of marriage, saving sex till marriage, how he'll throw that at you and thinking, oh, wow, okay. You know, you have to, like, if you truly love me and if you truly obey me, you're going to obey what I have and you're going to wait until marriage and you're going to, you know, be obedient unto me. And if you do mess up, I'm going to send you a strong conviction. I'm going to bring other people alongside with you to hold you accountable. But another thing that I also learned from following God, and what I've also learned, is that when I would mess up, you know, I would harp on myself so bad. You know, I would say, okay, it's because of you that it's messed up. You know, you're an embarrassment to God. You're an embarrassment to everything else. It's because of that. But then I've come to a realization that we mess up every single day. We mess up right when we are born. You
Yes, we
know,
do.
we are sinners right when we are born. And I'm like, okay, then we're never going to be perfect until we cross that path and we get to meet Jesus and we get to be in front of God. Then we will be made perfect. But until then, we mess up even in our sleep, you know. And so it's that come to realization stating that I don't need to ponder, I don't need to harp on my depravity, I don't need to dwell on my thing. Because if we do, if when unlike before, when I would dwell on my sin and my mistakes, I would walk away from God, you know, because I would say to myself, and I would say to God, God, I'm not worthy to be a follower of you. I'm not worthy. And that
The
broke
words
my
of
heart.
Satan.
Yes. And that broke my heart to think about it. But now I think of it differently. Now I think of it, okay, God, I am worthy to be a child of yours because I've messed up. And now I'm going to seek for your forgiveness. I'm going to repent my heart. And when I call for repentance, I suggest everyone to repent the sin that they did. Now, for instance, if you're addicted to watching YouTube, or if you're addicted to drinking Dr. Pepper, and you do like a long stretch of like not drinking Dr. Pepper, and then you slip up by drinking that Dr. Pepper, you go to repentance and you ask, Lord, forgive me for drinking that Dr. Pepper. I come in repentance, you know. And that's a very cool thing to, you know, that's one thing that I've also learned in my prayer language is really maturing. And that's where, you know, that other concept of God saying that, you know what? You know, the faith of a mustard seed is true. But at the same time, we are supposed to be, you know, when we truly accept him at our age, I don't know how old you're probably in your early 20s, unlike me.
I'm 35.
Oh,
I don't look it, but I am.
unlike our age where we are young, so we are developed at a very early age. And then, like a little kid, we then nourish on milk. So, like, we attend Bible study, we attend certain things, and now we develop, and now we start eating like true meat, and we now grow, and now we disciple others. You know, we tell the people we are now the disciples of God. We're servants unto God, so we have to go out into the world either through podcasting or just through speaking with people to impact life. My whole thing is, as long as I bring one person to God, as long as I bring one person to God and to acknowledge him, I did my job. The rest of them is the rest of it is caveat,
We
and it's
plant the
not.
seeds and the Holy Spirit does the work afterwards.
Yes. And sometimes you hear about say, and sometimes people are going to say no, and you can't be afraid of that because maybe they're not ready at that time. But what you have done is you have made them think. You've made you set a conviction upon them. And that's that.
And it is interesting that Christian rehab centers are far more successful and have less recidivism rates than what non-Christian rehab centers do. So it's amazing how God can work in those ways. And it's all about the cross and coming to the cross with that heart of repentance and that heart of being willing to admit, I messed up, I made a mistake. And Jesus says, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but he
Amen.
gives us that forgiveness, that repentance comes through him. And that's the way that we can come to know God. And I do want to ask you as well, because of all the issues you've had throughout your life and the different situations you've seen, how has that made you a stronger person and stronger spiritually, especially as a result of these things? And Acts 7:60 you had sent me that ties into this. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. So I feel that kind of ties in with with this question. How have you become a stronger Christian or more strong in your faith because of this?
Oh, I've, that verse, when we are like disciples of God, this is one thing that I have come to know, is that when we see things that happen and transpire, all we can do is just pray, and we can just be good stewardess of God. And when things happen, for instance, the killing of babies, and when we experience our the rights of the people, and we see Satan attacking those rights, all we can do at that time is we can't do much of anything. But what we can do is we can fall on our knees and we can just cry out to the Lord. And I've done that not once but multiple times. I've done that. I did that. I did. I respond. I did a two-part episode. I pleaded out to God, and it was very emotional. Episode, because it comes to a point where, as disciples of Christ, we want to share the ability. We want to be able to go out into the world, and we want to like. Make sure educate the people as well of what God has intended for us. But when people go and make poor decisions, and when people like of older generation than we are, then say they know who Christ is, but don't follow his example, it just breaks our hearts. And all we can do is just fall on our knees. And yes, that includes, the humbleness, that adds a humility. And that's where I've learned that sense of humility. Excuse me. Thinking that it's okay to cry out to the Lord, and that, I used to be afraid of crying, I used to be afraid of showing my emotions, but now it's okay for me to do that because we are crying out to the Lord and we are pleading for God to intercede on our behalf against the spiritual warfare that we are having in this very day. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my train of
Yeah,
thought.
no, and falling on your knees is something that we see mentioned and prayer and petition for nations, petition for their own salvation throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament. People fall on their knees or they call out to God like Abraham did, tried for Sodom and Gomorrah and with Lot. As well, we see it with Daniel, we see it with David, and we see many of the prophets throughout there, crying out for the nation of Israel.
Yep.
And the Lord, Jesus Christ, falls on his knees, crying out for other people. And on the cross, he says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." So
Yep.
even that was a petition that we see. And that is something that we need to take note of and follow example of, that we are set to be examples for Christ. We're called to be light.
Amen.
And part of being that light is seeing people who are in darkness and wanting to share that light with those in darkness, to help illuminate the darkness so that they can see Jesus Christ and plant that seed. That's all we're called to do, is plant seeds.
Yes.
We can't claim that any souls were saved because of us. It's we planted a seed. The Holy Spirit chose where that was going to go and has worked with these people to bring them to Christ. And then they too become light, and it just spreads from there. And the more persecution we see, the more we see it spread. And I think that is amazing. And I think that's something that, we fear persecution, but I don't think that we should be afraid of persecution. I think we should be like, "Thank you, Lord, that we are put in this situation of growth, this time of growth." And I know that is hard to do. That is really, really hard to do. It's taken a lot for me to get to that point. But I think as a church and as a nation, we need to come to that point and be like, this is a chance for spiritual growth.
And
That's what,
develop.
yes, exactly, and development. And that is what battling adversity is all about, is growth and development, and seeing it as that exact opportunity, because it just teaches us we need to rely on God, we need to rely on the Lord and Jesus Christ, and be thankful for what he's given us, and not just revel in the negativity and be like, "Oh, I'm gonna wa or wallow in the negativity." Be like, "No, let's not wallow in this. Let's see God, and where is God at work? What can I be thankful for?" And as we're coming up to
Yes.
Thanksgiving, that's something to remember, as well,
Do
something
you
to
guys
be
celebrate
thankful
Thanksgiving?
for. We have already celebrated it. We do it earlier than you guys do.
When's yours?
It was in, I think it was the first weekend in November. I could be wrong. My wife knows all those dates better than I do. I just have them on my Google Calendar, and it tells me not to book things in those days because my wife would kill me. So
Well, as we conclude, would you mind if I pray for on here and stuff
yes, for sure. You can
and
pray for
so
our nation.
yeah, and both of us, Canada and America. All right, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given us, a wonderful conversation, Lord. Lord, you are a merciful Father, Lord. I pray that. We pray for Canada and we also pray for America. We just pray for the leadership that's going on in both of those two countries, and that they have drifted away from you, Lord. They have drifted away from your commands, and they have drifted away from what you have bestowed upon America and Canada. We just pray for guidance, that you put somebody in the cross paths with the leadership, that they can be convicted and that they can have a seed planted. So they know what's going on, and so they know the between the wrong and the bad, and they can know who you are as well. And that starting a relationship with you is the best thing that they could ever have. And once you start a relationship with you, Lord, then you can finally set the course on the right direction. And you can set this nation, both of our nations, on the right direction. And Lord, I ask for a repentance of our people, of America and of Canada. We come to you asking for repentance of our hearts, of our wicked hearts in both of our countries, our wicked minds, the minds that we think of other people, and the division that we think of, and the wickedness of our mouths. And we just repent of that, Lord. That, speaking of, instead of spewing out hate and in spite of others, help us to speak of truth and just allow us to disciple others through you, O Lord. Because it's those words that can impact somebody's lives. It's those words that you give us and allow us to bless those words to plant somebody's seed. We can't plant those seeds if our mouth is full of hate and if our tongue is full of despair and wickedness, Lord. So I come to you full of repentance of our hearts, minds, actions, and our body. And Lord, may you guide us and protect us as we continue the path that you have set before us, so that when we cross that finish line, Lord, we can run into your arms and we can hear you say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and
Amen.
amen.
Thank you for sharing with us, and it's been great to talk about some politics and how that relates to the church.
Oh,
That's
absolutely.
very good. So thank you for sharing with us today.
And if anyone wants to follow my, if anyone wants to know more information, they're welcome to follow me on Facebook. I'm TikTok. I think my days are numbered on TikTok. You can follow me on Spotify, Apple, anywhere there's podcasting, called The Sauce Report. It's a good, healthy mix between sports, politics, interviews with people. And the focal point of it is that it centers around God and how God has impacted their lives. And it's how God can impact your life. And so you're welcome to give her a follow on any of those platforms.
All right. Thank you very much. I hope that you've enjoyed part one of this three-part segment where Soslin has begun talking about his testimony, what God has been working on in his life, and his time in an orphanage in Russia, and how when he was adopted and brought to the States, that really did change his life. And now all the different things we've seen happening throughout the world and in our own nations of Canada and the U.S., and how it is impacting us as a church and how we should be reacting to this. And we've got some Bible verses to back that up. I hope you've really enjoyed these segments. If you would like to reach me for any reason, you can do so at tpeters745@gmail.com.